Okay, so we are continuing in the topic of Hana, the learning as well as for all those in Amakam Sakana in Eretz Yisrael and those risking their lives to protect it. So we talked yesterday about a person's attitude towards Hana. But one thing which I tried to make clear yesterday, and we're going to spend more time on it today, is that it's not the right approach. Precious is not full, and full-blown precious is not the proper approach. It's not the right approach for a person to completely deny himself any type of hana in this world, even though we're saying that technically it doesn't all come from a great place. It's connecting you to Gashmias, but nevertheless, it's not that we weren't created to live a life where we're supposed to deny ourselves that. And that's what he's saying on the bottom of page 633. He says, let's say you want to eat something that tastes good, ba'arev, and pleasing, to your palate. So at certain appropriate times, you want to do this in order to increase your ruchnius, then that's actually considered a mitzvah. What are examples of this? He says, great people used to do have this minhag that they would eat or drink by Kabbalah. So it sounds like there's a minhag here to by Kabbalah Shabbos to go downstairs and have challah. That's what it sounds like. But he's saying here that as part of Kabbalah Shabbos, at the meal they would eat some good pleasing food, and that was ruchnius kedei lekabel Shabbos b'simcha ba'ofen ha'amar. So this is not at the meal. This is before the meal. This is right mamish toyameha right before Shabbos, in order that they should go into Shabbos with joy. Ki mitanug b'simchas haguf, he says, through pleasure and joy of the body, yachol la'ayir tanug ha'nefesh b'simcha rabba shel mitzvah, you could motivate yourself for joy in a mitzvah, which will go so strong that the physical pleasure is meaningless. So let me tie this and give you some real world examples. So the best example I could give is person has a coffee in the morning, coffee, geschmack of coffee, of a great Starbucks coffee, or maybe you're into the Folgers instant, maybe that's your thing. But when you have a good cup of coffee, you're able to daven better, you're able to learn better, it opens up your mind, it wakes you up, it's geschmack. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about it's Gashmias, but it's Gashmias that allows you to have Ruchnias. And to the point where now you're going to be so involved in your learning that the coffee becomes meaningless. Now you're going to be so involved in your tefillah that the coffee becomes meaningless. And he's talking about this when it comes to a siyum. You want to go and you want to celebrate it. You want to eat somewhere nice. If that's going to motivate you, that I want to finish the Masechta because I like going to the siyum. So the siyum, the accomplishment is going to outweigh the actual meal. You're not going to end up as you advance and mature, you're not going to be going for the food. You're going to be motivating yourself to learn, and the learning is going to take over and become important. And I'll bring you a raya because he talked about this. He talked about how we motivate children. How do we motivate children? First, we dip their finger in honey. We teach them Torah sweet, and then we offer them $10 gift cards to Amazon. And eventually they outgrow that. And we offer them $50 gift cards to Amazon and $500 gift cards to Amazon. And we offer them all these prizes. And then eventually we take it all away and we say, go out and learn. And people still learn. Can you imagine? People still learn, even though they're not giving out Amazon gift cards at Daf Yomi, but people still learn. Why? Because we tie it to something gashmias, but you outgrow it. And the ruchnias stays and the importance stays. And people understand that kaveh ha'itim, they need to be. The importance of kaveh ha'itim, they outgrow the gashmias. So that's what he's saying. It should be a tool. You shouldn't just say, you know what? On day one, I'm in first grade and I'm going to be mechanech my kids. There's no prizes. There's no prizes. You collect tzedakah. There's no prizes for that. You do well in school. There's no prizes for that. You're doing it all l'shem shamayim. That is not the proper approach, he's saying here, because you're denying it. And he's saying, actually, if you're going to take a life of precious, you're actually going to be harming your ruchnius. He says, I'm sorry. So he talks about this down here. That he says in the bottom in the notes, he says that you have to realize that the soul, the neshama, is trapped in the body. And in order for you to sort of unleash and you maximize the potential of your neshama, you have to use the key, which is the guf. You have to be motivated. If you simply say, I'm going to go, let's say you're dead tired, and you say, I'm going to go to shul and I'm going to learn, I'm going to do daf, and I'm going to apply myself and I'm not going to have the coffee. What you end up doing is you're removing the motivation, you're removing the freshness, the geschmack feeling that you would normally have as you would start learning. You're removing that, and what ends up happening is your body's going to be tired, your body's going to start breaking down, your mind is going to start to wander, and your ruchnis is going to end up suffering as a result. So that's what he's saying. If you deny the body its needs, it's going to end up rebelling, and you're going to end up being unsuccessful. So you should give in. You should tie some learning to some small reward, whatever it is, whatever does it for you. But you should say, you know what? I really enjoy this wine. I'm going to have this wine when I finish a Masechta. I'm tying now to finishing the Masechta, something good, to enjoying the wine. I'm creating a motivation. I'm sort of using a key to unlock the gashmias, to unlock my guf, so that my ruchnias will be successful. And that's what he's saying. Use it as a tool. Use gashmias itself as a tool to increase your ruchnias. He says, "Ubeprat me'inyan ha-kavod." When it comes to kavod, hamedume, which is imagined, it's one of those pleasures that a person imagines. Kavod, respect. Tzarech leschazek ma'od. You have to really strengthen yourself, because people get so wrapped up and it's so imagined. People feel slighted that I wasn't showing respect, or this person isn't talking to me properly. Don't they have a karsa toif, everything I do for them? And it's a lot of it is imagined, and it pulls people. You should be at a level when even if you get honor, it means nothing to you. You don't get any pleasure from it. Shari Kosov is Sefer Chassidim. The Sefer Chassidim writes, "Shekomasha Adam Nenem in a Kavod Shemachad Noisa Baylam Azera." Any Kavod that you get and feel pleasure in this world, it actually deducts from your Olam Haba. Because if you think about it, Kavod is nothing physical; it's all mental, and it's more ruchnius than it is gashmius. And so it's deducting from the real ruchnius reward, which is in the next world. Not only is it not correct to travel at to run after kavod in the first place, as the mission of us tells us that kavod removes a person from this world, and in truth, that it's really it's meaningless. The kavod that someone shows you is really meaningless. Someone who chases after them, you go from evil to evil. And you're going to encounter evil and distress in this world and in the next. And moreover, your life is not a life. As any thinking person can understand, because you're so wrapped up and consumed with what do people think of me and how are people treating me that you can never enjoy, you never live life, because you're always worried and you're always thinking about whether you're getting proper respect. But not only that, he says, not only this, but even if someone is running away from kavod, so you're doing what it says, you're not demanding it and you're running away from it. But if it's kavod roidef achrav, kavod is chasing after you, people now respect the fact that you are not a roidef of kavod. So then, shekachi amida, that's the midah, that's the way it works. You still have to strengthen yourself. So even if you are rav and you're an accomplished person and people are standing up for you when you walk in the room, which is demanded, you have to work on yourself not to feel any satisfaction, nachas ruach, from that. And when your children show you respect, you have to work on yourself not to have any satisfaction. And when your wives show you respect, if they do, then you have to work on yourself not to feel a satisfaction from that. To prevent the Yetzirah from making you feel pleasure from it. You know what you should think? You should think, oh my gosh, if they find out all the Averis, if they saw the skeletons of my closet and they knew the Averis that I do, they would lose all respect for me. And that's Umayasali and Pekuda. And what's going to happen after 120 when everyone sees and it's laid bare all the averus that I'm doing? How disgusting and how despised I'm going to be. I'm going to be full of shame more than honor. So these are the